Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for being for us. We thank you for being alongside us in Jesus. We thank you for being inside us as well in the Holy Spirit. We pray that this would be a time you would take and use for your glory. Every one of us comes in here with challenges, pains, questions, struggles. But Lord, help us to lean into you, to your loving arms, to trust in you that you're big enough, you can handle whatever we face, and to know you are good. Thanks for being for us. Help us now to lean into your word that you have given us as a gift, to enjoy it, to be shaped by it, to know your love by it. We give you thanks, we give you praise. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. We're in Ephesians. If you have no clue what Ephesians is, let me just kind of give you a quick rundown. I'll give you some background and context here in a minute, but Ephesians is a letter written by a gentleman named Paul. Paul is writing this church in Ephesus, and in this part of the world, an incredibly important part of the Roman Empire. In fact, probably one of the most important strategic ports in all that in that time period. So lots of things going on there, and so he's really trying to help them know who God is again, what they need to be focusing on. And he does this in the beginning of this text by sharing his prayer for them. You can tell a lot by someone when they pray. Some people can't handle praying out loud. No qualms, no problem. It's okay. God's good. He knows what you need, and you pray and you talk to him. But he's writing this down so that they would know and giving them a kind of a pattern of what's important, how we need to really connect with what God has for us. And so he goes on to say, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Now, spirit here, by the way, is not saying Holy Spirit. It's like the disposition, okay, a mindset. That you may have the mindset or the disposition of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. The power is the same as the mighty strength he extended when, when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This is the word of the Lord. So again, this place is a place of power. This place is a place where it is so full and so happening that they made its mark, and it's still there today. You can visit the ruins from the theater here that would seat close to, they estimate, over 20,000 people would have been able to fit in this area, to the city gates that open itself up to the merchant area, to actually part of a temple that was there on the streets, to the library. They believe there's 12,000 plus scrolls that were carried there and that were, you know, in that presence. And again, just that Roman, the ability that they could do to build. Now again, how they did it and their domination of it, that's obviously not something that needs to be appreciated, but just again, just how important the city was. It was a very strategic and just important for how Rome did what they did. And so, to consider this, he's trying to address them in this place of power. They're culturally in a place that would be for us like a Chicago, a New York, an LA. If you like somewhere else, I'm sorry, put it there for you. But it was one of those special places, those places of power that seemed to rise above. It was a place of power for the religious. They had several temples to different gods. They had this place where when you went, you knew that you weren't home. okay, that you weren't in charge and others were, and things seemed to kind of steamroll you. Well, what's interesting is this prayer, again, that he's praying, is he's trying to help the body of Christ understand who is truly Lord. That they're in this place of power, but who truly is King? Who truly is Caesar? I think that would be very helpful for us today. We live in the wealthiest nation in the history of the world. The wealthiest nation. And don't get me wrong, some of us look at our bank accounts, or some of us look at what we don't have, or the stock market and what it didn't do for us, or whatever, or the housing market that crashed, and we just go, oh, I don't know, I don't feel very rich. Well, again, just to kind of put a reality check for all of us, that if you have three meals a day, some mode of transportation, which could be a bike, and a roof over your head, you're in the top 10% of the world. Don't feel rich. Usually the rich don't feel rich, by the way. That's not because I'm rich, as in rich, but I mean, you know, I'm rich because I have first world problems, as sometimes it's called. But so he's talking about this prayer and the purpose of prayer. Sometimes we don't really think about prayer too much. We just maybe just do it. Maybe we just have kind of learned it. That's what we do when we maybe have a meal, or when we get up in the morning, or maybe when we go to bed, or maybe when really things are bad. So then we pray. Okay, dear God, it's me again. I don't know if you noticed, but this is really not good. Okay? And we just are calling out. And don't get me wrong, I know the Lord is there with us, especially in those difficult times. When you're in the hospital and you're not sure what they're not finding, and you would just like some clarity. Can you, Lord, a little help the doctors here? What's happening? Or maybe the job situation is just not working out. Or can I go there? When relationships are not the way they need to be, family-wise dynamics, or business relationships, when things are not the way they are, how can we lean in on God with prayer? See, prayer isn't just to let him know. He already knows everything. Prayer is to get to know him and be known by him. Prayer is that two-way conversation. If you have a friend, maybe you don't, but if you have a friend that when they say hello and you say hello, they don't stop talking. Like you could walk away from the phone. You get a drink, come back, uh-huh. And guess what? They didn't even know you were gone, right? Sometimes we pray to God like that. We just start blah, 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 blah. And he's just like, I know. It's not that he doesn't want to talk with us. He wants to talk with us. He wants to be there with us and help us know him. And don't get me wrong. When you are burdened and you need to get it out, you get it out. He's incredibly patient. But in that getting it out, give space and say, God, now what do you want to tell me? Now, I'm not saying you're going to always hear an audible voice. It just might be his peace. It might just be a word or a phrase and just be like, you know, a comfort. You just don't know. Sometimes I will pour out my heart to the Lord, and then I'll get out the Bible and I'll read a psalm. Used to be old Bibles. If you can find an old Bible, you just open in the middle, and it's usually right there. New Bibles, it's a little different place. Anyways, but and you open up, find the book Psalms, and just read a psalm. And it's amazing how God just speaks to me through the Word. And it's not just me. It's not because I wear a robe and have fancy stoles or anything like that. This is for all people. Just seek him out and listen. It's for, again, prayers for us to get to know him, and don't forget this, for us to follow him more faithfully when we're dealing with temptation, to cry out to him. It's not about willpower with temptation, I'll tell you that right now. And don't get me wrong, it's not easy sometimes fighting it, but you have to surrender to him and say, God, I need your help. And also to support one another. We had a brother in Christ who walked in today, who's been in the hospital in and out, and it's just been, I call it the trifecta. He's just had one thing after another those last few months, and I'm like, man, I said, we're gonna have to give you a new nickname or something, because like this, your name doesn't fit you anymore. You have been through so much. And he started laughing and stuff. We started joking back and forth, but it's our prayers for one another. It's amazing how when we really, isn't it comforting? If you haven't asked anyone to pray for you, you're missing out. You really are. Maybe, hey, would you pray for me about? It could be for direction. It could be for his peace. It could be just, you know, I'm just really struggling with, would you pray for me? There's just that amazing support and encouragement that happens when we really share and ask for prayer. So again, he's wanting them to understand who God is more. It's not secret knowledge. It's not like if they just keep going to the temple or go to the church or go in their lives and God's just going to, everything's going to just be downloaded. He's praying, God, I pray that God will give you a spirit of wisdom, a disposition that you would seek out and learn and grow. Who is this God? Especially in this place of power with all these other small gods, okay? Because there was a battle between these gods. This is the god of Artemis, Diane, if you prefer the Roman. But you have this is an actual statue from that area, from Ephesus. And you have this portrait of her being so fertile and so protective and stuff. And that was a very common thing. You would see all these different statues all over. Again, you have this library and just a night vision, a night picture of it. And it, again, it's beautiful. It is amazing. Again, just this, just how important this city was. This was, again, just so central. Even at the library, they have these statues, these four statues. I know I'm showing you up two today, but where they had in Greek thought, knowledge, wisdom, and goodness. And those things that were just so essential, they believed, to being Roman, to what was the most important about knowledge and how things were to be. Just impressive in what they did. And again, thousands of years later, it's still there. And yet, he's not saying in this wisdom and revelation, not telling them about this, hey, look at that God or look at this God. He's saying, do you not know the inheritance we have? Do you not know how what God has already done for us? How he wants to live in us and through us in such a way that when we get it, we start living differently. If you knew you had a lottery ticket and it was a winner, you might change your disposition a little bit. You might be like, huh, that's kind of nice. Yeah, you want to go there? Let's go there. You might change how you think about things and how you plan things. Paul's trying to let him know, listen, God is reclaiming the whole world for himself. He's renewing it, and he's starting with you. He's starting with you, and it's about us surrendering, being moldable and shapeable in his hands, humbling ourselves and saying, Lord, you know the mess of my life, good and bad, and we need you more. Would you please do what you do in us? Consider this. If say you were, put that on there. Let me take off the words here. If you were to come up to this picture, this statue, how would that fit in your God folder? We have computers today. Most people have computers or have been on computers, stuff like that. And when Windows came out and they had this thing of like files and folders and how to organize things and stuff, no judgment here. Some people, they like put the file everywhere on their screen. And they just want to find it and they have it there and that's your thing. Do your thing. I don't necessarily do that. I like kind of filing my things away and kind of know where things are at. For me, easier. Again, just me. But we all have a file we kind of have put things in about who is God. And some of those things in our file are absolutely true and good. Some of those things are maybe some misinformation, some maybe not so true. Some of it's wrong. Some of it, maybe we have nothing in our folder. Maybe folder, I have that folder. It's empty. You've not really considered what you've been putting in the folder over the years. And Paul is wanting through this letter to Ephesus and this we call Ephesians to help every one of us understand who is this God and what is he doing. And it starts with us getting to know who he is. It starts with us taking what's in our folder and saying, does this match up to what the scripture's teaching or does it not? And to have the courage to then deal with it. See, sometimes we get stuck in looking at what is and what isn't and we miss it. If you have something that doesn't match up with scripture, I challenge you to question that knowledge and that understanding. Challenge your logic. it's incredible how there is so much logic in Scripture that whether you, if you're not a follower of Jesus, you've come for a friend, you've came to just kind of check things out, maybe you just came just to hang out with some people. Know this, that there's some things that Scripture teaches that will impact anyone and everyone, whether you believe it or not. Kind of like gravity. Gravity affects everyone, whether you believe it or not. There's some things and principles in Scripture that it'll bless your life. It'll help you financially, relationally. There's so many things that'll help you. But it's about us, again, humbling ourselves and learning from it. It's amazing how when we really turn over our hearts and lives to Jesus, how he makes us better at life and makes our lives better. Again, this power that was displayed before them, the power that he's talking about over and over again about in this city that they live in, this huge powerhouse, he doesn't talk about how powerful the city is or how powerful Caesar is. He does, again, this helps us use special lenses. He throws in words that we see and make it all this spiritual, beautiful thing, which it is in some regard, but it's bigger. He's talking about the power of Jesus and his resurrection. They believed that the gods would send one down, and they were the Caesars, and they would rule up on high. The writer here, Paul, is saying, but look at this one who truly rules. He rules above all the other gods. He's throwing down fighting words. If anyone that was not a follower of Jesus, they'd be like, wait, are you saying this Messiah who was hammered up on a cross, who he died a real death, and you guys are saying he came back alive, you're saying he's better than Caesar? Yep, that's what he's saying. He's saying it was just inconceivable. Again, there's a word that he uses in here, and this source, our source, that he is this power, this strength that we have, and it's the source, I'll put it up here, and God has placed all things. Again, if you weren't here last week, the word all in Greek is all. So all things are under him, under his feet, and appointed him to be head over everything. The word head here is like the head of a river, the source of the river. We find out who we are in him. He is our beginning and our end. And so he is, again, making major claims, saying he is our source, the power that assists us to carry out God's mission. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. We don't have some wimpy God. It's not about trying to do it all perfect, but it's about relying on the one who lives in us and who is for us. In a few moments, we're going to come to the table, and everyone here will be invited. You don't have to believe all the right things. You don't, again, have to have your check marks all taken care of. It's about saying, I need Jesus. I need the Lord more than I even know, and surrendering all to him. So who is your source? Are you really looking to him? How can we as a church depend more on our source? This is a bigger question. This is a question we can ask for years and years, but it's so important for us to understand, who do we really rely on? Is it this one true living God, or is it just about us trying harder? I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad. I'm just trying to get you to think about what the Scripture is really begging to be asked. What power are you being drawn to? The one who's really head over all things, or the one who might be head over a few things here? It's a challenge, isn't it? It's truly a challenge. Because what we see is maybe a church of 100 people, 120 people. Maybe we see a church that has a school. Maybe we see a church in the corner of Heatherwood, California, and we don't see huge. Maybe God's bigger than what we think huge is. Maybe it's about the work he wants to do in us is huge. The transformation he wants to do in us is beyond what we can handle. And so we need him desperately to send his Spirit to renew us, transform us from the inside out. Get to know God this week. Pray to him. Listen to him. Read of his word. Be encouraged and know that the prayer that Paul prayed for that church is still being answered today in our church. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your work. We thank you for the beauty of your son, Jesus. Lord, we know that we don't have it all together. We know that there's so much more for us to really wrap our minds around. We thank you for the work you're doing in us so you can do the work through us. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world, especially at Palm City, in the Grove, and at Indian River, as they enter in the process of calling and seeking out the pastor you want for that church. We pray your will be done in their hearts and in their lives. Lord, we lift up our nation. We thank you this 4th of July week that we could celebrate. We are truly blessed to be in this country. We pray for those again who are leaders, who have been tapped on the shoulder by you. We pray that you would give them wisdom and favor beyond their years, that you would also give them humility, that they would partner with you, not just be instruments of yours, but really work with you in what you're doing in this world. Again, Lord, we pray for those who do not know you, and even more, Lord, for those who think they don't need to know you. Have mercy on all of us. Help us to never forget how your love never quits. You are so gracious and so good. Bless us the rest of our time together so that we may again be the people you called us to be. Pray this in your son's name. Amen.